I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would, to please open your Bibles. Open them to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, if you just start at the front, you'll find it quickly. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. My wife and I have really enjoyed being here with you this week. Those of you that were at the camp, we enjoyed getting to be with you. And then several of you I met last year when I was here. And it's good to see you again. I'm glad you're still here in your church and still faithful. Did I talk long enough for you to find Exodus chapter 33? All right. We're going to read several verses here in the book of Exodus chapter 33. But before we do, let me give you just a little bit of background. Moses is leading the children of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land. As you know, it wound up taking 40 years for them to go on this journey, but the story we're going to read this morning is about 3 or 4 months into the journey. Already, just 3 or 4 months into the journey, the people have already complained, they've already rebelled, they've already murmured. They've doubted. They accused Moses and they even threatened him. So finally, Moses got to the point where he felt like he just had to get away from them for a while. And so he left the people there in the camp, and he went up on the mountain to be alone with God. While he was up there, he wound up staying 40 days and 40 nights, and God gave him what we call the Ten Commandments. God gave him 2 tablets, 2 flat pieces of stone, tablets of stone, 2 flat pieces of stone. And God had written on those 2 tablets what we call the Ten Commandments. So Moses, now he's refreshed and, you know, just revitalized and ready to go and, you know, lead the people again. And so he leaves the mountain, got the tablets of the stones in his hands, the Ten Commandments that God had given him. And he's making his way back down the mountain and begins to hear a noise. And when he gets down to the bottom of the mountain, he finds the people gathered around an idol. He's been up there with God. He's coming back now to give them God's word. And when he gets there, they're worshiping an idol. They're not just worshiping it, but they're dancing. Some of them are naked. Can you imagine how many times Moses got to the point where he wondered if there was any answer? I mean, can you imagine how many times Moses got to the point where he felt like there's just no answer to this thing? I've got 1.5 million people. I'm trying to get them across the desert, trying to get them to the Promised Land, and they keep griping and complaining. And now I go up here and I spend time with God and I have God's word and I've got the answer and I come back down and they don't want to hear it. And Moses got so mad, just the spur of the moment, he took those tablets and threw them on the ground, shattered them into many pieces. And right there we pick up the story in chapter 33. In fact, let's look at the last verse in chapter 32. Chapter 32, verse 35. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Now in verse 1 of chapter 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. So what God said to Moses here in verse 1 was this. God said to Moses, Depart and go up hence. Or we might say in our vernacular today, just get out of here and go on. That's what God, okay, Moses was so mad at the people, he threw the stones down and broke them. God was so, I don't know if you call God mad or not, but God said, just get out of here and go on, Moses. He said, and take those people with you that you brought up out of Egypt. He said, take those people, thou, he said, in verse 1, he said, depart and go up hence and take the people which thou hast brought up out of Egypt. And he said, I'll send an angel before you. And he said, that angel will get to the promised land before you get there, and he'll chase out all your enemies, the Canaanites and all the rest of them. He'll get rid of all of them. And he said, when you get there, there'll be a land flowing with milk and honey. There'll be houses for you to live in that you didn't build. There'll be crops for you to harvest that you didn't plant. There'll be herds for you to take care of that you didn't have to raise. He said, but I'm not going with you. He said, because if I go with you, before we get there, I may kill every one of these people. He said, I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. He said, but just get out of here and go on and take those people, and I'll take care of everything for you. I'll send an angel. He'll have everything arranged when you get there. Well, you know, you'd think Moses would go back to the camp and say, hey, folks, you can stop your griping. You can stop your complaining. You can stop your murmuring and so forth. He said, because God just told me that all we've got to do is just pack our stuff and take off. And he's going to send an angel in front of us, and he's going to guide us there. And by the way, by the time we get there, all of our enemy will be gone and all of our needs will be met. Folks, God has just promised us a wonderful life with no more problems. So, man, let's pack our bags and get going. But that's not what he did. Look in verse 7. In verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And then, here's one of the most amazing statements in the entire Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Boy, what a statement. What Moses did was this. Instead of saying, oh great, now we've got a problem, now we've got a life that's problem free, and we've got a promise from God, he's going to take care of our enemy and provide all we need, let's get going. No, what Moses said was, before we leave, let's pitch the tabernacle. And he said, if anybody wants to get to know the Lord, you can go out there to the tabernacle and you can spend some time with God. And one day, word spread through the camp. Hey, Moses is going to the tabernacle. Hey, Moses is going to the tabernacle. And everybody stopped what they were doing, and they all stood in the door of their tent, and they all watched Moses as he passed through the midst of the camp, and he went out to the tabernacle, and just as he stepped inside the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar, God's presence, a tall, narrow cloud, like a pillar, that cloud that had been up in the sky above them, leading them, God's presence, that cloud came down and it stood at the door of the tabernacle. And in that cloud was God. And God and Moses spoke to each other face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Now let's continue reading in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. What Moses was saying to God, don't call these people my people, they're your people. Say, don't blame me for this. I was back out on the backside of the desert taking care of my sheep, and you're the one that came, found me, and told me to go get these people out of Egypt. What's he doing? He's arguing with God. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. He said, yeah, when I was back down on the backside of the desert, you promised to go with me. And you said, if you'll go down and get my people out of Egypt, I'll go with you and I'll lead you to the promised land. He said, now we're halfway there and some things have gone wrong and you want to bail out on me. He said, okay, sure, you want to send an angel before me, but I don't even know the guy's name. He said, you haven't even told me. He said, thou hast not let me know whom thou will send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Notice what Moses said? He said, show me thy way, not the way. Moses wasn't saying to God, okay, if you're going to send the angel before us, then show me the way where we can get there. Show me the way so we can know how to find the place. Show me the way so we can have this easy trip. Show me the way where I can succeed. Show me the way where I can gain a bigger title or a bigger position or a bigger salary. Show me the way so that I can have this wonderful life with no more problems. Well, God had already promised him a great life with no problems. He said, I'll send the angel before you, and they'll take care of all your enemies, and you'll have food to eat when you get there. But that's not what Moses wanted. Moses didn't say, great, God, that sounds like a good idea. Show me the way. No, he said, show me thy way. He said, wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. He said, you're going to send us to the promised land with an angel, but you're going somewhere else, then show me thy way. He said, he didn't ask, show me the way to the promised land. He said, show me the way where you're going. He said, God, wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, and I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He's reminding him, these are your people, God, not mine. Don't go off and leave me. And verse 14, and he said, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, God, I don't want a life with no problems if I can't have you. Then look in verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he, Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Here's what Moses is saying. He's saying, okay, God, if you're promising me now that you're going to go with me instead of sending this angel, he said, then let me see you. You see, they were talking face to face, but remember, God was inside the cloud. And I'll show you in a minute why God couldn't show His face to Moses. God was inside the cloud talking to Moses face to face, but Moses couldn't see Him. And so Moses said, okay, God, now you're saying, yes, you will go with us, but if that's true, then let me see you. Show me thy glory. Look in verse 19. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Have you ever been in a situation where something startled you? And when it did, you kind of went, oh, and you said, well, I took my breath away. Well, God is so much more wonderful than we are, so much greater than we are, that if you ever saw God, it would take your breath away. And I don't mean startle you for a moment. I mean He's so much greater than we are, it would take your breath. It would kill you. If you saw God's face in your physical flesh, it would kill you. That's what He's saying there to Moses. And then verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, or the crack of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Here's what God was saying to Moses. He said, Moses, remember up there on the mountain? You remember that big rock you used to stand on and I was there beside you talking to you? He said, Moses, there's a place by me. By the way, if God and you were going to meet and God said to you, meet me at that place, meet me at that place by me, would you know where that place is? Do you have a place where you and God meet on a regular basis? God and Moses had met together for 40 days, and God didn't have to give him a map on how to get there. God just said, there is a place by me, and Moses knew exactly where he was talking about. God said, you know that big rock, the one that's got the crack in the front of it? He said, you go stand on that rock, and he said, here's what I'll do. He said, I'll be there by you, and I'll reach over and put my hand over your eyes. He said, I'll take you off the rock. I'll put you in that crack. And he said, I'll put my hand over your eyes. And he said, I'll pass by in front of you with my hand over your eyes. And he said, after I have passed by, then I'll quickly remove my hand. And he said, when I do, you'll get a glimpse of my backside. Let's continue reading in verse 1 of chapter 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Remember, he broke the first ones. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou knowest. And be ready in the morning. Notice what he said, be ready. He didn't say get ready in the morning. He said be ready. You know why sometimes we don't spend our time with the Lord in the morning? Because we go to bed at night with all the worries of the world and everything else on our mind. And we plan on getting ready in the morning to be with God. But you know, God said to Moses, I want you to be ready in the morning. That's why I try to be careful about what I eat late at night. I try to be careful about what time I go to bed. I try to be careful about what I watch, don't watch. What, you know, for example, I never watch the evening news. It's all depressing and it's all discouraging. And I don't want to go to bed with all that on my mind. No, when we travel together, sometimes we get a little off schedule and so forth. But when we're at home at night, I try to eat my meal early and I try to relax around the house some, and then I try to get in bed as early as I can. Why? Because tomorrow morning when I get up, I want to be ready to be with God. He said to Moses in verse 2, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount, before that mount. You know, there's some things in the Bible that are not in what we call chronological order. You know, like the Gospels in the New Testament. They're not in chronological order. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. And my preacher said you ought to go home and read your Bible. And so I decided I would. So I asked him at the back door that morning, where should I start? He suggested the book of Matthew. So I went home and I read the book of Matthew. And Jesus was born. He grew up. He performed some miracles. He was arrested. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. He went back to heaven. And so then I kept reading in the book of Mark. And Jesus was born and started to grow up. And boy, did I get confused. I remember I called my preacher on a Tuesday night and I said, preacher, how many different times did Jesus come to the earth and get born? I didn't understand, but so there's certain things they're not always in chronological order. Well, part of this story is like that. Go back to chapter 33, if you would, please. And go back to chapter 33 to verse 11. In verse 11, we read that statement, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. All right, look at me just for a second. And then we read the entire conversation that God and Moses had with each other, where God said, meet me in the morning and bring the tablets with you so that I can write the words of God on it. And he said, be ready and be there in the morning at that place. And he said, put my hand over your face. We read all of that. But now, let's go back, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend there at the door of the tabernacle. We read the entire conversation, and then we read, and he turned, Moses, and Moses turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Huh. Where'd he come from? The people saw Moses go to the tabernacle. The people saw Moses walk in the door. The people saw Moses speak face to face with God. The people saw Moses come back to the camp. You know, if you're not careful, you read that whole story and you miss that one little phrase that's sort of tucked away in the corner of the story. And Joshua, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He was there. He saw the whole thing take place. He saw Moses and God speak to each other. But you know, not one time does it say anything about God and Joshua speaking to each other. Not one time does it say anything about what God said to Joshua. Not one time does it say anything about what Joshua said to God. But when Moses and God finished talking to each other, Joshua, who had been standing there watching it happen, he was Moses' minister. He followed him around and helped take care of him. When Moses turned and walked out of the tabernacle, that little phrase says so much more than what it says. And Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle. Can you see him just standing there? Just maybe shuffling his feet and maybe got his hands in his pocket. Hey, Joshua, you need something? No? Well, Joshua, you have something you want to say? No? Well, Joshua, is there something you want to ask God? No, not really. Well, Joshua, what are you doing? Well, I don't know. I just want to hang around here for a while. I just want to be in this spot where God and Moses spoke to each other face to face. You know, there's no other place in the Bible that it ever records that God and man spoke to each other face to face like a man speaketh to his friend. And Joshua had the wonderful opportunity to see it happen. No, God didn't speak to Joshua at that particular moment, but Joshua had enough sense to say, wow, I want to be around. I just want to hang around here for a while. Man, I got to be in the place where it happened, and I want to just hang around here for a while. I want to make three statements. Number one, when there is no answer, God's presence is the answer. You know, there's times in life when there's just no answer. You know, there's times in life when you just can't quite figure it all out. You know, there's times in life when you just can't quite come to the conclusion that you need to come to. You know, there's times in life when no matter how hard you try, you just struggle and you struggle and you struggle, and it seems like, boy, you know, Moses tried over and over and over to get this thing figured out and get these people to the promised land. He went and spent time with God. He got God's word. He came back with the answer, and they still didn't want to hear the answer. But when there is no answer, God's presence is the answer. Statement number two. The leader finds God's presence alone, away from the people, and usually early in the morning is the best time to do it, and always with the Word of God. You know, the leader, I'm talking about the husband. I'm talking about the father. I'm talking about the mother. I'm talking about the Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about the bus captain or the foreman on the job or the superintendent or the owner of the company or the principal of the school or the teacher of the classroom. I'm talking about that leader, the one who is responsible for leading the other people and taking them where they need to go. The leader has to find God's presence alone, away from... You remember when Jesus Christ and the disciples came back to Capernaum, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and word spread around the town and even across the countryside that Jesus was back and he was healing people, and they brought so many people to see Jesus that Jesus and his disciples had to work late into the night to take care of all these people. And then the Bible said, and in the morning, rising a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Look, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has to have time alone early in the morning to get along with God and pray with Him, surely you and I need that time alone with God every morning. And if we're going to be the leader of the situation, I'm talking about you husbands, I'm talking about you mothers, I'm talking about you school teachers, I'm talking about you foremen on the job and owners of the company, and in whatever situation you're in, if you're leading somebody else, what you need is God's presence And the way to find it is away from the people, alone with God, usually early in the morning is the best time to do it, and always with the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, bring the tablets. I'm going to write the Word of God for you again. When there is no answer, God's presence is the answer. The leader finds God's presence alone, away from the people. Early in the morning is usually the best time, and always with the Word of God. And statement number three, but the younger follower can sometimes find God's presence in the presence of someone who has found God's presence. Joshua didn't talk to God that day. God didn't talk to Joshua that day. But isn't it amazing that later on when Moses was taken to heaven and there needed to be a new leader, the new leader was Joshua, the one who had found out that spending time close to Moses got him close to God. I'm talking to the folks this morning that have only been saved for a few months or maybe a few years. I'm talking to the folks this morning that have only been in the church a few months or maybe a few years. And I'm talking to the folks that sometimes you look around and you wonder where God is and you wonder how can I get a hold of God. And sometimes it seems like you just can't quite see God. You can't quite find God. Well, I guarantee you there are some who know where God's presence is. And if you'll hang around them, you'll be close to God. The best thing you can do for your family, those of you especially that have young children, is keep them in a church just like this. Keep them around some other Christians that know God. Keep them around some other Christians that have walked with God for years. And keep them around some folks. Turn if you would. Let me turn for you. You don't need it. I'll turn for you. And I'm going to read from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul was writing a letter to some folks in Thessalonica. Paul had gone to Thessalonica and he had started a church. And then God called him to go somewhere else. And so he was writing a letter back to those folks in Thessalonica that he had won to Christ. And here's what he said. He said, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. But Paul was saying to these young Christians in Thessalonica, he was saying, look, I beg you, I beseech you, get to know those people that are over you in the Lord. He said, because they know God. And if you'll hang around them long enough, you'll get to know Him too. You ever face a situation where you just scratch your head and you think, man, I don't know the answer? Well, the answer is God's presence. And the best way to find God's presence is alone. Not at a Southern Gospel concert. Not at the big church social, which is nothing wrong with that, but that's not okay. You find God's presence when you're alone.
Amen.
With the Word of God. The best time to do it's early in the morning. But there's sometimes where you just feel like, boy, I've tried and I just can't quite. Okay, go find somebody who knows God's presence. And spend time with them and get to know them. And in knowing them, you'll get to be in God's presence. Like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody here this morning that would say, Brother Young, you're right. There are some times when, boy, I really need God's presence. Man, it's difficult to figure out what the answer is. Would you admit that you're like me? There are times when, boy, it just seems like nothing else except God's presence is going to help me now. Have you ever faced that situation in life? If you haven't, you will. Who would say this morning, Brother Young, I've had those times in my life? Or who would say this morning, Brother Young, I realize that my time's coming. One of these days, I'll face that situation. And when I do, I want to remember that it's God's presence that's the answer for life. So the young, would you pray for me this morning that I can continue to grow and mature in the Lord and learn how to find God's presence through the Word of God? And Brother Young, would you pray for me that I'll be faithful and find my place and my time where I'll spend time alone with God on a regular basis early in the morning like Moses? When God said to Moses, there is a place by me, that's all he had to say. Moses knew exactly what he's talking about. Brother Young, would you pray for me that when that time comes, that I'll have the wherewithal to know how to find God's presence? Would you slip your hand up right now? Say, I want that in my life. Keep it up just for a moment. Thank you. You may put it down. And then would you, like me, admit there are some times when you struggle to find God's presence. And when that happens, just keep yourself close to someone or some people that it's obvious they know God's presence. And I guarantee you, you'll be close to God like Joshua was. Father, I pray this morning you'll help us to make some decisions here this morning in this service. Some decisions about our schedule. Some decisions about our routine. Some decisions that'll influence our life so that we can have that wonderful opportunity to spend time with you on a regular basis, early in the morning, with the Word of God. And thank you how so many times, over and over and over, you come to us with your presence, just like you came to Jesus the morning that he needed your presence after he had worked hard. And then, Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunities we have, especially in a good church like this, to be around others who know you maybe even better than we do, and how we can glean from that. But this morning, help us to make the decisions we ought to make. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to stand right now. Whether you raise your hand or not, would you please go ahead and stand? In just a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play, and when she does, I'm going to ask you to make your way from where you're standing here to this altar, and I'm going to ask you this morning to make some decisions about your routine, about your schedule, about your life, about wanting God's presence, and about setting aside a time to find that presence. And then if there's any other burden on your heart this morning that you need to come and talk to God about, you come right now as the piano begins to play. You step out. Make your way here to this altar. Just ask the person next to you to move over. They'll be glad to. You won't be alone. You won't be embarrassed. Several others are praying. You come too. And this morning, you just say to God, God, I need your presence. And God, I'm rededicating myself this morning to being faithful, to find a routine of life that will allow me to be ready in the morning to spend my time with you. Then you come this morning and you say, God, I need your presence. God, I have a burden on my heart. God, I'm struggling with what the answer is to this particular situation. God, I'm not looking just for some book with the answer in it. I'm not looking for just some angel you'll send down to point me in the right direction. God, I want your presence. I know that's the answer. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know for sure you're saved. Why don't you come and let the preacher have somebody pray with you? Maybe you're here and you're already saved, but you've never been baptized. Why don't you come this morning and ask the preacher about being baptized? Maybe you've visited the church a time or two, but you haven't joined yet. Why don't you come this morning? If you've been saved and baptized, why don't you come? And maybe God would have you to call this your church home.
Again, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, boy, what a terrible thing to go through life without Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. Have someone show you. It's a wonderful thing. Know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Second, you're here today and you haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in baptism. You know, that's the first commandment God gives you after you get saved. They that gladly received his word were baptized. About 3,000 the same day. Haven't been baptized since you've been saved. You're late. Take care of it. Take care of it. You'll stand before God for not doing that. Stand before God for not acknowledging him in your heart. Testifying to folks that you've been saved. You're ordained and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to become helpers and workers for the Lord. Why don't you come? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this tremendous portion of scriptures. The thoughts behind the servant. Thoughts behind one who would seek God. Lord God, help us to seek you daily. Lord, help us to have that place. When the preacher talked about that place, our mind should have went to that place that we meet with you, Lord. For some, those places have had to change sometimes because of our different situations. But Lord, we should always have a place. Lord, now bless this time. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Give ourselves completely to you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to, as we think about this day, we'd realize the great responsibility we have to be back tonight at 6. Lord, thank you for all you've given to us. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the thoughts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to direct in our hearts. Thank you for the power of God and power of your word. Lord, now bless this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.